Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. You're listening to Ag Talk with the Ag Doc. I'm your host, Dr. Curtis Livesey, and before we begin today, I want to make sure to take a minute and thank our very first sponsor, AgFuse. AgFuse was created to provide farmers and the farming community with an easy and intuitive social media platform, and they did just that. Now you can connect with Dynamite Ag at agfuse.com. Now, here's a rundown of today's episode. First, we'll cover what's up in the world of Dynamite Ag, which is obviously a little spin on what I usually do in that section. And then I will introduce you to our brand new show format. All right, let's do this.
You're listening to Ag Talk with the Ag Doc, presented by Dynamite Ag. Now, here's your host, Dr. Curtis Livesey.
Welcome to another episode of Ag Talk with the Ag Doc. Now, if you are a regular listener to this show, you're probably thinking, it's about time, dude, where have you been for the past 3 months? Well, the answer to that question provides us with a perfect segue into what's up in the world of Dynamite Ag. Well, guys, here's the scoop. It's been about a 3 month hiatus because not too terribly long after the last podcast that I released, and that was the one on John Deere acquiring Precision Planting, in case you missed that one. But anyway, right after that podcast, Melissa and I welcomed a brand new baby boy into this world. His name is Elijah Bricker Livesey, and he weighed in at 6 pounds, 6 ounces and measured right at 19 inches long. Now, if you're wondering about the name, we went with Elijah because we wanted a strong biblical name, and the name Elijah means the Lord is my God. His middle name, Bricker, is my middle name, which is also my grandmother's maiden name. There were no boys in her family to pass on the family name, so that was passed on to me as a middle name, and then obviously Melissa and I passed that on to Elijah as well. But here's the problem with Mr. Elijah. He came to us about 31 days early, and he came via emergency C-section. So, needless to say, we had a little excitement with this little dude from the get-go. And because he was a preemie, he had trouble eating and all that jazz, so we actually spent the first 18 days of little man's life in the NICU, which is the neonatal intensive care unit. We've had a few other little hiccups along the way, which have taken up a surprising amount of time, but we are very blessed, and he seems to be doing much better now. In fact, we just had him in for a checkup this week, and he's up to 13 pounds, 5 ounces, and measures 23 inches long. So he's growing like a weed. Anyway, between having Elijah earlier than expected and then having to travel for winter agronomy meetings and classes and stuff that I'm doing, obviously the Ag Talk with the Ag Doc podcast has been off the air for a while. But I'm excited to announce that I'm back, and we've got a new show format that we're going to try out, and I'll be back to tell you about it right after this.
Hey guys, are you thinking about getting a 360 Y-drop this year but haven't pulled the trigger yet? Dynamite Ag wants to make that decision easy for you, so we're running a special promotion through February 29th, 2016. Purchase a complete Y-drop system from Dynamite Ag by the end of February and receive free shipping on the Y-drops. Additionally, you'll get 40 gallons of Conklin Sidekick for free. Just pay shipping for the Sidekick. What's the big deal with Sidekick? Independent on-farm research near Primgar, Iowa, showed an impressive 9-bushel yield bump to 2 gallons of Sidekick applied at V14 through the Y-drop. That's a net return of almost $18 per acre, even at 350 corn. It's time to get off the fence and into the field with your brand new 360 Y-drop. So call Dynamite Ag at 641-919-5574 and order yours today.
If you've followed the podcast for a while, you know that it's ever-evolving. I started out with fairly long episodes with different segments, including interviews with our Dynamite growers. Then I'd do some ag news, a crop progress report, etc., etc. And then I'd dive off into the main segment, which was usually a fairly in-depth research project that involved me reading a lot of published research and interviewing experts in the field. Now, as time went on, I shortened up the front segments to spend a little more time on the research project portion, and in both cases, I spent a tremendous amount of time editing the podcast before putting it out there for y'all to listen to. Then the most recent episode, the last one before Elijah was born, was actually my very first live episode, and I spent that podcast taking your calls and getting reactions to John Deere's acquisition of Precision Planting from Monsanto. Today, however, we usher in a new era in the evolution of the Ag Talk with the Ag Doc podcast. Now, I've talked to several of you, some of whom I've never even had the opportunity to meet in person yet, via email, text, phone calls, and basically what you guys have told me is you wished I could do the show or get the show out more regularly. So that's what we're going to shoot for. Before my little three-month hiatus there with Elijah being born, I was getting out about one show per month. The goal now is that I'm going to start releasing a show about once every other week, I hope. But in order to accomplish that goal, here's what has to change. Although I still hope to do some of the big, you know, research-type project podcasts that I've done in the past, for the most part, the show is going to become more condensed and more streamlined. Specifically now, instead of reading a whole bunch of research and talking to experts, I'm going to start focusing on one research study per episode. When you think about it, this is actually kind of similar to what you read a lot in the magazines. So media sources from like Corn and Soybean Digest to Fox News and MSNBC, they all do pretty much the same thing here. If you've ever read an article that was like, recent research finds, blah, 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 fill in the blank. See, what they do is they have a journalist who reads through research abstracts and then turns the study's findings into a news story. But here's where this show is going to be different. And again, I'm not knocking any publications or journalists or anything at all out there, but there are two very important things that you need to understand about this kind of a system. Number one, journalists have to write stories that people want to read. So they need headlines and stories that will make you want to read them. In short, the general goal is readership, not education. Number two, most journalists don't have a graduate degree in research methods like I do. As such, they're forced to take the researchers and their conclusions at face value and quote-unquote report the findings instead of critically analyzing the research reports. And that's where I come in. I read a tremendous amount of research anyway, and so I'm going to be going through a single research study per episode, like I said, but with a fine-tooth comb, doing my level best to explain what the researchers did, how and why they did it that way, and most importantly, I'll be explaining what implications the research may have for your farm, if any. So with that said, we're going to dive into our very first research study and our brand new show format right after this. Hey guys, you need to go check out AgFuse. AgFuse is a free social media tool created specifically to connect farmers and the agricultural community with one another. Through AgFuse, farmers can interact, share ideas, tips, research, and more. Users can form or join groups, allowing for the discussion of specific topics like precision technology or cover crops. The tool set provided by AgFuse allows farmers to increase knowledge in the field, update members, and provide instant news through groups. Learn more by visiting agfuse.com. That's AGFUSE.com. And when you get there, be sure to send us a friend request. Today's research study is entitled Anhydrous Ammonia Timing and Rate Effects on Maize Nitrogen Use Efficiencies. And it was published in the Agronomy Journal in 2015. Wait, I'm starting with an anhydrous study? Yes, you heard that correctly. I am starting with an anhydrous study for the new show format. And if you've heard me speak before, or you follow me on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, you know I spend a great deal of time explaining to growers why they should switch to nitrogen sources other than anhydrous. So why on earth am I going to start with this study then? Because the goal of this podcast has always been to educate you, my listeners. And this study provides excellent fodder for analysis and discussion. So, make no mistake about it, I'm still against you using anhydrous ammonia as your nitrogen source, but I am all for what we can learn from good research, and this was good research, so let's get started. Every research study starts with a literature review, which is basically just a rationale or an argument for why the current research study that you're reading actually matters, or why the research should have been conducted in the first place. Think of it as the researchers trying to build an argument for why they need to fill in whatever this particular gap is in the research that they're wanting to address. So the rationale for this study goes something like this. Grain yields are increasing, and farmers need to know how to maximize their yields with their inputs. However, it's not just about yield, it's also about maximizing profitability, and it may be possible that it doesn't cash flow to maximize the yield. In other words, we may be better off at a lower spot on the yield curve that doesn't cost quite as much to produce. Because we're constantly looking for ways to do more with less, one thing that farmers and researchers sometimes try is changing the timing and/or rates of inputs like nitrogen. At this point, the researchers spend a good deal of time citing or quoting past research findings about various nitrogen application timings and rates and placements and their impact on yield. And they wrap up this section by saying, okay, here's what we're going to look at in this study. And in this particular study, it was pre-plant versus side-dressed anhydrous ammonia at various application rates. The next section of a research study is the methods, and in this section they describe what they did. The goal here, at least usually, is that they provide enough information that other researchers could theoretically go out and replicate this exact study if they wanted to. For the record, that almost never happens in agriculture or in any other academic field, actually. And if you want to know more about that, I'd really encourage you to go check out NPR's Planet Money podcast and specifically look at episode number 677 called The Experiment Experiment. I listened to that one just the other day, and it's a really good overview of why studies aren't replicated. Anyway, back to the study at hand. In this study, we find out that the research was conducted at Purdue in Indiana from 2010 to 2012. The test fields were corn following soybeans, and the researchers tested two application timings, like I mentioned previously, pre-plant versus side dress. And then they also looked at four different rates with both of those timings, 0, 90, 145, and 202 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. At this point, I'm going to take a moment to point something out. All of these studies use the metric system, and as much as I love good old America, guys, I gotta tell you, I actually wish we used the metric system more in our everyday life, because converting back and forth is a major pain. And just so you know, the reason that researchers use the metric system is because you have to remember that these research reports are written to be read by scientists all over the world. And since we're like the only place in the world that doesn't really use the metric system on a daily basis, it just makes sense to focus on the intended audience, which is the rest of the world. So scientists use the metric system so that they can speak a common language, is what it amounts to. With that said, I'm going to spare you the trouble of having to do the conversions from here on out. A kilogram is equal to about 2.2 pounds, and a hectare is about 2.47 acres. So therefore, 1 kilogram per hectare is the equivalent of about 0.89 pounds per acre. And so the rates in this study of nitrogen in something you're more familiar with would be 0, 80 pounds, 130 pounds, or 180 pounds of nitrogen per acre. The soil type for the study was a silty clay loam, and the ground was tiled. Now, here's something else that's important. These plot sizes were 15 feet wide and 105 feet long. In other words, that's 6 rows. Take that for what it's worth. Some research uses small plot work, and that may be very applicable for what it's doing. Other times, you may want to be a little bit hesitant to say, okay, well, what they did in 6 rows and 105 feet long is super applicable on my farm. So again, just keep that in the back of your mind. All plots were chisel plowed about 10 inches deep in the fall, and then they were hit with a field cultivator and a rolling basket the day before the pre-plant application. And here's another important thing to note. The pre-plant nitrogen application condition was applied 6 inches away from where the corn was planted, and the side dress application was applied at 15 inches away from the row. And this is a really, really important point that I'm going to come back to, so do not forget this. Now we move on to the results of the study. In this study, they discuss a lot of different outcome variables, including things like dry matter weight, leaf area index, nitrogen ear leaf concentration, nitrogen internal efficiency, nitrogen recovery efficiency, and nitrogen use efficiency. And while the dry matter and things like that are interesting, I'm pretty sure the thing that most of you would agree that we're really interested in with a study like this is what is the impact on yield? And that's what I'm going to focus on for the podcast. So, in 2010, the side-dressed application increased yield by about 9.5 bushels per acre over the pre-plant application. In 2011, the side-dressed application out-yielded the pre-plant application by almost 25 bushels per acre. However, in 2012, which was a drought year, the pre-plant application out-yielded the side-dressed application by about 21.5 bushels per acre. They also pointed out that in 2010 and 11, even though side-dressing nitrogen out-yielded pre-plant nitrogen, it was only in the highest nitrogen rate that this happened. So in other words, yes, the side-dress won, but it took more nitrogen to get that higher yield. The next section of a research study is the conclusion. Now, their ultimate conclusion, or the researcher's ultimate conclusion in this study, and I love that they actually went on record and said this, by the way. This is a direct quotation. Here's what they said. This three-year study highlighted the inability of any one-time anhydrous application strategy to consistently maximize grain yield. Now we get to jump into the fun part. This is what I call critical analysis. This is the part you don't usually get, again, in the major media sources. Remember how I said earlier in the show that a lot of major media publications read abstracts and write articles based on what the abstract says? Well, here's the problem with that approach in this particular instance. An abstract is a summary of the article. It is necessarily short, and it can't give you all the gory details that you need to fully understand what's going on. So what I'm going to do now is read you two lines from the abstract and then give you some possible headlines based on plausible interpretations of those two lines from the abstract. First, the abstract says this: whole plant nitrogen uptake at maturity was consistently higher with pre-plant application. So, here's your possible headline that you might read in an industry publication. Study finds that applying anhydrous preplant increases nitrogen uptake. Right? I mean, that's one totally viable interpretation of that one line. And here's what I hope will be the obvious problem with that interpretation. Remember that this study claims to report on timing and rate, and the title says absolutely nothing about placement. But do you remember the differences in placement preplant versus side dress? The preplant application was 6 inches from the plant, while the side dress application was 15 inches away from the row. Guys, research has consistently shown that the ammonium form of nitrogen does not move very far at all. So my point here is that we have to be careful not to attribute the greater nitrogen uptake to timing, when in reality it was most likely the placement that increased the uptake. So again, what we have is the possible interpretation of preplant nitrogen application increases nitrogen uptake, and in reality what we probably should say is closer nitrogen placement increases nitrogen uptake. Again, please remember, guys, these researchers did a great job of pointing this out in the study itself. I'm merely telling you that sometimes what you read in the mainstream farm media may not reflect the full picture of what happened in the research study. Okay, so that was problematic potential headline number one, and here's the second. The abstract says this: highest grain yield was observed at the highest N rate with side dress timing in 2011, but with the pre-plant timing in 2012. So here's your next possible headline. Study finds inconsistent response to nitrogen timing. Did they really find an inconsistent response? No, not really. What they found was that without adequate moisture to help convert the ammonium to the nitrate form, and without adequate moisture to help move the nitrate, and without adequate moisture to help the plant root to grow out far enough to tap into that nitrogen, that placement probably makes a huge difference. Again, the researchers did a great job of discussing this in the article itself, but someone who only reads the abstract may miss these finer details, and they could potentially miss the mark in an effort to write a catchy news story. The final part of the new podcast format is the most important. And that is when I get to discuss the real-world implications for your farming operation. First, let me take this opportunity to reiterate that you should be using forms of nitrogen other than anhydrous ammonia. And yes, I know there will invariably be somebody listening to the podcast who hasn't seen my YouTube video or heard me speak, and they're thinking, why on earth wouldn't I use anhydrous? And to you, I simply say, I'm really sorry I haven't gotten the 6 reasons to avoid anhydrous ammonia video re-recorded and put back up on YouTube yet after my account got hacked. It's high on my to-do list, so just stay tuned. Secondly, and here's what this study really means for your farm: timing and placement matter a lot when it comes to nitrogen. Yes, in a dry year, the N doesn't move very far at all. In a year of normal precipitation, whatever that means, side-dressed application at V6 won. But I hope you caught the fact that it took the highest rate of nitrogen to get a yield response when it was placed out in the middle of the row. In other words, even though they applied the nitrogen closer to the time the plant really needed it, it took a lot more to see a yield response than if they used less but put it closer to where the plant could actually access it. And I hope you're asking yourself, well, if it takes more nitrogen banded in the middle of the row to get a yield response, where is the rest of that nitrogen going? If you'd like to discuss the answer to that question, or if you have any questions about today's show at all, please feel free to give me a call, 641-919-5574. That's going to do it for this episode of Ag Talk with the Ag Doc, guys. I'm your host, Dr. Curtis Livesey, saying thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already done so. You can find us on the Farm Journal's My Farm Radio app or in iTunes, on Stitcher. Podcast Addict is one that I really like. You can also get the podcast at our website, which is agtalkwiththeagdoc.com. Make sure to follow Dynamite Ag on Facebook and Twitter, and don't forget to connect with us at AgFuse. And if you have feedback on this episode or on the podcast in general, or if you just want to talk agronomy, please feel free to go to dynamiteag.com and shoot us an email. That's a wrap for this show. Thanks so much for tuning in.